Welcome to Call Us Mommy Podcast, where we get real about mom life, relationships, and careers. I'm Tiana, a single mom of three.
And I'm Marielle, a married mom of four. We're both on a mission to empower you not to settle in any area of life. All right, we're back on Call Us Mommy with a guest from our program. Her name is Christy, and she has been in the program. I'm actually not sure how long. I'm going to let her cover that. But she is doing amazing, and we've been bragging about her for a while now. I think we had you make a video. We've had you make some content for us because you're just doing some really awesome things with your career. And it's literally why we do this, is to have women like you share your story and just show like the things that you can do with the virtual assistant world is so cool. So you are the epitome of why we do this. And we just love that you're sharing with others. So I'm excited to get into this today and to talk about what your work from home life looks like. I know people get tired of hearing what ours looks like, and yours is much more exciting. Like every time you post in our group and you're like telling us what's going on, me and Tiana will be like, oh my gosh, our lives are so boring. Like we never did anything as cool as people like Christy have done. So I'll let you share a little bit more about yourself.
Perfect. Well, hi, everyone. I'm Christy, Midwest, born and raised. I feel like that's why I really captured laptops and littles when I was searching anyway, because it felt like home to me. And it was kind of that no BS, especially when you're going into motherhood. That's what you want, right? Someone that's comfortable. Like, I don't want you to look all put together because I'm not put together. So that was very welcoming for me. But I moved out to New Jersey, found the love of my life. Now I'm out here doing all the things. But having a family out here is really expensive. So before I was commuting, I had a corporate accounting job. It was amazing. And then it was, let's have kids. And the price of daycare is insane, let alone a house. So, and then we wanted second baby. And how do we do that? And it was, okay, something has got to give here. You know, how can I be present with my children? Also feel like I'm helping my husband, because that's a whole other burden that you really feel, especially as a mother and a wife. And also just be true to myself, you know, where it's being with clients that I want to be with and making sure that I instill my own values. So it was really taking all of my corporate dislikes and reminding myself that I get to choose now who I want to work with and what that means for me. And that's like where I found you guys. And it was honestly, I think it was early trimesters, right? Like late night scrolling, you're really uncomfortable, you can't sleep. And I was like, okay, what do I do? I think I was on like LinkedIn or something. It said virtual assistant. I'm like, what the heck is that? You know, like what does that even mean? And then I go to Instagram of all things and I'm scrolling. And I was like, oh, there's this one. Okay. And I think I sucked, like cyber stalked you guys for a while before I was even like, okay, I'm going to subscribe to this and I'm going to keep going on the page. And then I just kept bringing it up to my husband. I was like, this is what I think I'm going to do this. And after so long, he was like, did you purchase the course yet? And I was like, no, but like, should I? And he's like, you won't shut up about it. So you should just do it already.
Okay. I love that your husband called that out, because the amount of husbands that like I have had to like speak to personally, or they'll like, the girls will text me, ask me questions, or like, how do I answer this for my husband? So having a supportive husband is, I mean, like, yes, go husband.
Yeah. And I love that you, I just forgot that you're in a city, because it's easy for us to be like, yeah, do this and you can make more money than you would make in an office being in like Indiana. But when you're from like I know you're not from, but when you're living in a bigger city, you know, I'm sure your salary is more, but like your cost of living is way more. So for you to say like, I've been able to do this and replace that and like thrive is really cool. Cause it's not that I don't believe that, but like, since I haven't personally done it, I have more hesitancy for someone to come to me and be like, okay, this is the cost of living. This is what I could make in an office. Can I do this from home? I'm like, yeah, you can. But it's like, I feel like you really have to work hard to do that. So I love that you're a success story of that.
So tell us a little bit more, because we talk a lot to women who just want it to be like a little bit of a side income. And that, since they're looking to be like a personal assistant or like, you know, a basic admin, what is it like exactly? What are you doing for your clients right now?
Yeah. So I started at like what I could handle. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but I was like, I hit the ground running. And because my head, I was thinking, okay, when I pop this baby out of the womb, I already need a client there, right? Like, I don't have time to waste. So I was in the course, did it. And I want to say I didn't even complete everything. It was like all in 1 month.
Yeah.
I bought the course, I started it, and I had my first client.
That's
but
awesome.
Then that was it. I only took on one client because I didn't know, you know, could this baby be tongue-tied and have colic and this and that? I just didn't know what to expect. So it was really allowing myself to have grace, but also I think it helped learning my client at the time too, and figuring out what I'm good at and what I'm not. So really pacing myself. And then after that, as baby grows, my confidence kind of grew, mm-hmm. right?
You also get used to like juggling, group. Yes, like you get used to like juggling mm-hmm. like motherhood with the like a work from home career, because a lot of people, they go into it full force and don't realize like that's an adjustment itself, is learning to balance a client and motherhood at the same time.
Oh yeah, that was huge. It was okay. I think I can do this and it makes sense, mm-hmm. but also, you know, newborn stage, that it's a lot. It is a lot. So you really just give yourself grace, especially if you find a client that's maybe a little lower in rate, but really flexible, and they're like your ideal client, go for it. It's a great way to get your foot in the door. That's what I did. I mean, it was just general virtual assistant. I had opportunity to grow with her, and she loved it. Oh, and a kicker was, in my intro video with her, my oldest came in on the call. But I love that because she kind of like vetted her for me in a sense. Because if you can put up with my kid randomly coming in an intro call and you're okay with that, then I feel like we're going to mesh.
Yeah. I remember having intro calls and being like with a baby and saying like, just so you know, like I have a 3-month-old, they're home with me. I've done this from the beginning. Like I would always say like, kind of give myself like authority over the situation versus them being like, oh, well, if you need to call me back, I'm like, no. Anytime you call me, there will be a child in the house. So if you're not okay with that, like, let's just have that conversation now. But almost like didn't even give them the opportunity to say something like that, because it's like, it by saying that you would look silly, because clearly I can handle my shit because I'm doing it right now. And you didn't know there was a child here until I just volunteered the information for you, you know? But it does kind of like vet them, because you will get people every once in a while that just like, for whatever reason, have had a bad experience, or like just have it in their head that like moms can't do things or something. And like, so automatically you don't want to work with those people anyway, because it's that's like a red flag that's going to lead to a lot more. Yep. So I love that you left that in there.
Yeah. Red flag. Absolutely. And like you said too, Ariel, very much, this is my kid. This is how my life works. And to me, I own being a mother. That's yeah. one of the things where I'm like, I have to plan so many things a day. Like, this is in my blood, you know, at this point, running a business.
Absolutely. How you have to operate. And I think being a mom, especially when you have confidence in it, because we do see moms who are like they've only been stay-at-home moms, and they're very, very nervous to like take on a client. And when we say like, it is mothering, like that's what you're doing, there's like a disconnect for them to imagine themselves doing those tasks for somebody else. And I get it. Like, it's a 5-year-old versus a 50-year-old entrepreneur who's like built businesses. That's intimidating. But how did you handle, like, you obviously had corporate experience, so you probably had a little more confidence, but still going into something new, like, how did you handle stepping into something that like you weren't sure about, like what it would look like maybe, or like what your skills, how they would fit in with these new tasks? Like, how did you handle just that transition time? I know you said you give yourself grace, but like, how did you handle walking into that new role?
Okay, full transparency, I sat on every single call that I could with you guys and Taitlin, and just like any question that I could, I was there. Like, I lived through that. And through the course for a while, I mean, I legit printed out like paper, you know, because like, you guys have all the workbooks and everything, but I didn't know what I was doing. So it's like, okay, this is for me. I'm investing in myself, went through everything step by step. And really was like, this is my Bible. This is what I'm doing. And so I don't want to be like, oh my God, I owe everything to like laptops and littles. But at the same time, I knew nothing about this world beforehand.
What I heard you say though is you didn't just buy the course and then expect success. Like, you bought the program and then you showed up. You showed up for calls. You printed the PDFs. You went through the program. Like, That's the step that we always say, like Ariel will say it better, but the paint, like you can buy paint. I'll let you take over for that. But that's what it reminds me of, is because some people will just think like, oh, well, like I did the first step, which is a big step. Like that's a major step, is to invest into yourself. But then after that, like you have to put in the work. I'll let you take the paint can.
It makes me do this stupid analogy all the time. But the, like, you buy paint, take it home, put it in your kitchen. Like literally just put the paint can in your kitchen. It's not going to paint the walls itself. Like you've got to open the paint can. You got to get a brush. You got to do all the stuff. You got to do the prep work. So yeah, that, I love that analogy. I think it's very true. A lot of people, especially in the online world, think that there are get rich quick, you know, opportunities. There are literally none. There is no passive income past, like, you would still have to do like some service providing. You still have to do work and like hustle to get there. But like, you aren't a corporation, so you're not going to be able to run like, you know, $10,000 worth of Facebook ads to get clients and leads. Like you have to hustle and do the work to get there. But it's like what you're saying, Christy, like you didn't do it all at once. Like you slowly took it on until you got comfortable, and then you had more confidence, and then you added more. I started like Googling virtual assistant, found an agency. And so I worked for an agency for 2 years where they like shut down overnight, and they shut down. And I was like, so I had worked as an assistant with like 16 clients at once. And then I got promoted to like a manager. So I managed other assistants, and then had like a couple clients that I just like kept on. When they shut down overnight, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I'll never be able to do this again. Like, not really. It didn't settle that like, Ariel, you can do this on your own and probably make triple what you were making through an agency. You know, like I just didn't. It took me a minute to really get that. So like after 2 years of experience and then also managing assistants, I still didn't have quite the confidence that I needed to do it like right away. So I don't think that that ever just like naturally, I mean, some people, like Tiana is one of those people that naturally has those, that confidence. But when you surround yourself with people that are like funneling that into you, it happens a lot easier. And that was really our goal in the program, is not as much like the step-by-step course. Like I think that's helpful, but it's like the coaching that we've tried to build around it and the community around it. Because if I would have had that, I think it would have it taken me a lot more than a few months to be able to be like, no, I can do this. Like I would have just been like doing it, you know, like, oh, actually this is a blessing that they shut down, because now I can charge people $30 an hour instead of 10 or whatever. Like it was just, if I had that community, it would have been a lot different. And so I think the reason why a lot of people can't accomplish this in a month is because they do attend the coaching calls. And that's literally what we see. The ones that attend the coaching calls and like let us speak life into them and really build them up, like that does make a whole lot of difference than just going through a course.
Yes, 100%. It definitely helps. That, and I think one or two gals in the group, we were just kind of like more accountability. You know, we started at the same point, and it was, I don't really know where to get clients. And they're like, oh, me either. And I was like, let's start networking. So every time I would join a group, I would send it to them and they would join a group. And it was like, okay, instead of me having 5 groups, now I have 10. Mm-hmm. So really just being open with other moms in the group saying, hey, I found this job opportunity, and oh, it was in this group, and then you join it too. And just allowing yourself to be open, you know, like it's not a ladder that we're all trying to fight for, you know, to make it to the top. We're in it together. So I think owning that definitely helped me.
Yeah. And not like expecting the first time you join a group and like networking to be the like one and done, like this worked. Like it really is building up a snowball effect of like, you know, throwing all these like branches out into the universe and like waiting for one to stick. And then once it does, you start rolling with that. And then like a couple months later, maybe one of the other branches starts to pick up speed and like something else happens. And that's usually how it goes in this world. But like, it's so easy to give up right away. So I know you said you got your first client like within the first month, but did you ever experience like bouts of, okay, is this really going to work? Or like just times where you felt like things were moving slower than you wanted to? And like, how did you handle that?
Oh yeah, definitely. So we bought a house, our first house actually. And there was just so much movement and registering, you know, my first school for pre-K for the first time. And I was just going through the mom guilt like harder than, you know, ever. all the feels, and preparing, like we have an older house. So doing all that and the moving and me being me, I took a step back from my business a little bit there. But the whole point of us buying our house was also because I excelled so much in my career where I was now the breadwinner. So we could have these nice houses and amazing things. And, you know, we have like an in-ground pool and all this stuff. I really had that weight on me of I have to show up and I have to keep doing this. But at the same time, I'm a mom and my baby is going to school. And how do I do this? But yeah, it was 3 months. It was this past summer where I had one client. I went from like 10 clients to one. And I thought, I mean, my husband and I sat down and said, did we make a mistake buying this house? Because sometimes being a contractor is just like that ebb and flow, you know, and it was, do we downsize? Do we not? What do we do? And it was just giving ourselves time. You know, we had that cushion, we pushed through it, and I gave myself like a month, just cry it out and do all I gotta do and whatever. And then I just got back to the grind. I don't really know what it was. It was just one evening. I just had that burst of energy and I sat down and just started networking. Oh, I redid my resume too. I did that and I made like 3 new looms, right? Like a virtual assistant ones, an ops one, and then just an intro one. So I was like, maybe I just need to get like my new mojo back, right?
I love that because I knew Tiana was gonna, yeah. I've gone through that so many times and here I am like a decade into this and I'm like, I feel that all the time where I'll have conversations and like, I'm a project manager for a company. Like I just have, after being a virtual assistant and executive assistant for so long, I've just fallen into operations basically. And I love it. But like every once in a while, I'm like, especially with homeschooling my kids and just having them home more, I'm like, I think I would like more flexibility and like thinking about going back to like a contractor basis and things like that. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but like, if I did something like that, I'd have to go back into that world. And I've been talking to my husband about, and he's like, you do this every single time you go through a transition. And you're like, I can't do it. Like, it was just luck that it happened the first time and the second time, and the third time. He's like, you do this like every few years. And then it ends up being totally fine, if not like better than it was before. Like we've literally bought it. Like you said, like we bought the house that we live in now on my, I mean, literally on my income. I think I had to add him to the deed. Like we renovated it on my income. Like I was the main breadwinner for so long. So you start to feel a lot of responsibility. And I think that you create expectation for yourself that's like unrealistic on in some way. Like we can do a lot of things, but we cannot do everything really well. So like how did you know? I know you said like you were just overwhelmed with like moving and signing up for kindergarten and everything. But like what allowed yourself to step back? Because I will like run myself into the ground until I'm like, literally I can't function anymore. Or the client starts to notice it. And then it's like, okay, well, we're going to part ways because it doesn't make sense anymore. So like what sign did you see to give yourself that okay to like let go of those clients?
Oh my gosh. I'm going to sound like such a cliche. You guys are going to hate me. It was my husband. He's like my biggest cheerleader. And I myself, I don't say no, right? I'm like, yes, I can do that. Yeah, call me at 8 o'clock at night. Like, it's fine. We'll talk about it. You need something urgently? Fine. I got it. And he was very much, we have enough set aside. It might be tight. Like, you know, way back when, you remember when, you know, we had an oops baby and we were tight then and we made it, you know, like we can do it again. So it was okay.
I love
and,
that.
Yeah. Cool. He always reminds me too, if I don't take a step back now, then I will fizzle out 10 times harder later.
Yeah. We need a husband's episode because this is really good. And like, this could be like for the husbands that need to listen to this. But I remember there was a podcast episode and this woman who had like built this business said, I think she was working a corporate job and then trying to build her business on the side. And she was like, I really got to this point where I needed to quit my job and focus fully on my business. But there would be this period of that income being lost until I could build my business. And so she was like, I talked to my husband and we decided to downsize and make all these changes and like have a tight budget for a while. But like, it was like taking a few steps back so I could like sprint forward. And that's like a really terrifying thing to do because especially if you're in a comfortable situation, but like you want more, it's so easy to be like, well, you know what? Like so many people have less, like I'll just stay in this situation where I am comfortable and you know, have raises or whatever, and then just never do the thing and like never take that sprint forward. It is so easy to do that. So I love that you let him coach you into taking that step back for a minute.
Oh yeah. We always say his job is, you know, our health insurance. Mm-hmm. And we say, like, the world we live in, someone in your immediate family has to be just like an entrepreneur. You have to mix it up. If you want to succeed in any way and provide that, you know, almighty outlook for your children, one of you has just have to, like, you know what, we're doing this. Who cares? We're going to take a leap of faith and we're just going to go for it.
I love that you said that for your kids, because I think it is a hard bridge to make for people who have never seen somebody do it outside of, like, on social media or something like that. And so for your kids to actually see the behind the scenes of you doing it will normalize it so much more, and that they will question, like, when they're getting ready to go to college or maybe, like, get their first job, like, wait, do I really want to do this? Because I know that my mom never had to, you know, request time off or, like, worry about X, Y, and Z, but she also worked for herself, and being able to, like, have that critical thinking versus being told, like, what funnel to go into. So I love that.
I love it too. Okay. Since you had, like, a steady and consistent, like, job, were you scared, like, going into this world, like, or, like, feared, like, ooh, what if I invest into this and it doesn't go anywhere?
Yes and no. I had the fear that, well, to be honest, no, my corporate job was so comfy. We're coming out of it. I was like, you know what? If I throw this at the wall and it doesn't stick, it is what it is. But it was still, yeah, kind of frightening that if this doesn't work out, what will?
Yeah. I just shared something on my Instagram earlier, and it says, what happens if your business doesn't pay off? And then it says, then I work until 65. And it says, my worst case scenario is what most people's normal is. And I'm like, that's so true, because if you have to work, let's just say, like, talking to the women who they also have to have some sort of income, you try this and it fails, then you go back to doing what you were doing. It's just, to me, I'm like, what? I mean, I might as well try it. If I don't like it, okay, then I just gained a new skill. Like,
that's exactly how I felt. And okay, if it doesn't work, then I just go back to, you know, commuting and, like, hating my life. No. It's fine. Like, it's fine. I will deal with it.
But the worst case scenario is always a little easier to digest if you know what it feels like, you know, like, if you're able to, like, live it out in your head and still survive the end of that, like, you know, it'll be okay, you know?
That's something, like, yeah. When I used to take calls with, like, ladies, and they would be telling me, like, well, like, I'm like, what are you afraid of? And then they would tell me, and I'm like, okay, worst case scenario, like, let's walk through this. And then we walk through it and they're like, okay, like, it wasn't that bad. I'm like, exactly. But, like, anything new is always scary. Like, going to a new nail salon when I went to my old one for years, like, that's scary. You know, like, everything new is scary. Ariel's like, nail salon.
She'll pack up her entire life and move to another city, like, overnight in the blink of an eye. But nail salon, that's like, she's got to think.
Nail salon, I'm going back. Okay.
You push out a human, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you carry these humans. And my second was no medication, no nothing. So it's like, if I can do that, I can do anything. And then on top of it, recovery, coming home within 24 hours, picking up a toddler. You can do that. You can do anything.
Yes. Well, and also, like, when we become moms, we're not experts in it. I mean, I have 4 kids and I'm still not an expert. Like, you know, it's something new, but we're not like, oh, I don't want to become a mom because, like, I've never been a mom before. So it's like same thing. Okay. Well, I don't want to become an entrepreneur because, like, I've never been an entrepreneur before.
So many people have, and it's so easy to find information on the internet about literally anything. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, if you want to do something different, just start Googling, like, start trying to see how realistic it is for you. You'll find it, I promise. And then that's whenever you can, like, narrow it down and say, like, okay, I want to be this specific type of entrepreneur. And then, like, try to find some sort of support group and try to, like, gauge whether you can pay for something or whether you just need to, like, invest more time to, like, you know, soak up all the experiences of all these people on the internet. Like, it really does make a difference being able to do that. Cause if you think about it, like, as moms, if you aren't texting someone every night, like, when you first have a baby, about whatever they're doing and, like, is everything going to be okay? You're going on to a mom group and asking that. Like, most of the time you're doing that, you're not, like, internalizing those things. Like, you're having conversations with people about it. So it's the same thing. You just have to find your support group.
Yes. Find your support group, which for me was you guys and your group. And what really allowed me to be as successful as I am now is really doing that tunnel vision. Because I'm sure so many people can relate. You tell your husband or your immediate family, I'm going to be a virtual assistant. And they're like, what is that? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Right? And it's just like, block out the noise, post in our group, be present. Like, who wants to support you? Well, they will be there. And that really changed the game for me. Like, I had to put on tunnel vision, even when I went to certain like events in my family that were coming up and people are talking about kids and life and jobs. And I kept to myself because I was like, how do I explain like what I do? And, you know, like some people, like they get like the ick and I'm like, all right, whatever. But now flash forward, everyone's like, oh yeah, Christy does like project management. She does whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, yes, that's right.
Yes, I
do. Now, you know.
I was working with someone and they were flying me to New York for like an event or whatever. And he was like, I'm just really nervous that like, you're not going to come back from this event. And I'm like, do you think this, he would like hire me as a contractor and work with me for 2 years and then fly me out to New York City for an event and then just to kidnap me? That's like a really long.
No, people will think the craziest things. But if you're listening to this and you have not started the virtual assistant world and you see something like a job posting and they're asking for private information, please don't give them your social security number and your bank account information. Like, please don't take that and say, oh, they just said the world out here is safe. It is not safe.
But it's like, it is common sense. Like, the things that feel suspicious are suspicious. The things that feel normal are normal. So like, you really just have to use common sense. It's not, I think people complicate it because they're like, it's this world that I've never heard of. I've never been a part of the online business world. And so I'm just not going to be able to like have intuition. But it really is like, if you're at Walmart, you have someone walk up to you and be like, will you cash this check for me? Like, don't do that. So same thing, right? If someone's trying to hire you, but send you a check that you need to cash and then send them money back, it's not
right.
Not that complicated.
Yeah,
exactly.
So Christy, were you able to replace your income like right away whenever you moved into the virtual assistant world? Did you have to build up to it? Like, how did that look for you?
So my first client, I actually got very, very lucky and they were in Brooklyn. So a lot of times if you're working with East West Coast, I feel you can usually gauge higher in your rates. So that I was definitely blessed with. However, my second client was lowball. You know, she was in Alaska and on a fixed budget. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to work with whatever it was. It was $20 an hour. But with that, I went from virtual assistant to OBM. You know, so it was like a little give and take there, right? Lower rate, more experience, more credibility. And to this day, she's one of my references and she gives really good testimonials. So it's like, you know what? Yeah. That was worth it 100%. Now I charge pretty high. I think the last thing I quoted was like $5,000 a month for a part-time virtual assistant. Nothing too crazy. Your average calendar management organization. I really own the fact that I know I'm good at what I do, right?
That right here is key. Like, confidence,
yes,
can land you like any client.
Yes, 100%. That, and I noticed very quickly on, if they ask where you're from so they can give you more of a targeted salary, red flag, right? I want to be able to work for someone. It doesn't matter where I'm from. My rates are my rates and they respect that. So that's usually what I go in with. And okay, I quote it higher and then I'm flexible and we can negotiate down. But I'm also very much that person. This is what I can bring to the table. And I'm always over enthusiastic on calls, you know, showing that like I'm eager and I'm excited and I stalk everything that they do so that I have interesting questions. And I know sometimes we want to be professional and formal on these intro calls, but don't be dull about it. Right? If you want to be in their business, show them that you want to be in their business. Be excited about their business. That's what they want.
I love that. That's what we always say is like, their business is now your business. Like, I treated my clients like as if like I was the CEO of the company. Like, I'm ready to run this company. Like, that's how much passion I would have even if I was doing just email management and calendar management, like when they talked to me about their calls with their clients and stuff, like I was excited to like learn more and to like help them figure out like ways to do, you know, whatever it is.
And you do that before you even start working with them. Like you have to do that on the intro call. You don't sit on the intro call and wait for them to tell you, you know, what they want to talk about next or ask a certain question. Like you have to get on and basically you're already working together and like lead that call. So I love that you said like you have to show up and be enthusiastic and research and like stalk them beforehand, because then you can come at them and say like, oh, I checked out your website. Like, I love that you do X, Y, and Z. Like, it's so easy to find some sort of connection with anybody. So just do that beforehand so that you can have that and then go from there. But people will, they just want to see that you know what you're doing. And so if you get on a call and you're saying things like, well, I'm new to this, or I used to be in the corporate world, but I'm just now moving on to, you know, working online or whatever, like that's immediately taking away like your trust factor or your authority that you need to be laying out. So it's not, you're not lying. You're not like omitting truth. You're just not covering that information. And if they ask, you can say like, well, my experience is in X, Y, and Z. But again, you're not going to be saying like, well, I'm brand new to this actually. Like you'd be my first client ever. Like you just, I've never had that come up. Like I have had people ask me what my experience is in after I've given them like my spiel about like what I can do and like what I know I'm good at. And that's when you know, okay, this client's probably focused on the wrong things. And so they're probably not going to be like a good client if they're not already like willing to delegate. Like if they start asking really specific questions after you've already given them the answers in a different route, it's kind of like with the kid thing. Like they're just, that's a red flag. And they're going to be wanting to like have, you know, control over everything that you're doing or like be a micromanager or whatever. So you just have to like take those intro calls and see it as like redirection the whole time. It's not rejection, but like show up enthusiastic for each one. So it's yes. Hard. Like, yeah, you got to have the confidence every time.
Yeah. I've had some heavy hitters, actually for my clientele, which has been great, but I always do my intro call and I prep for it. And I'm such an OCD organized person that I always take detailed notes in a Google Doc while I'm on the call. And my follow-up, I send that to them because that's me presenting, this is what I can do, right? It's not just whatever, verbatim. Here's actual list of what we just talked about in real time, what I can do. And in my follow-up, I always highlight my strengths and then personal takeaways that I thought they could improve on or things that they need in their business.
So that's the difference right there is from a business owner to an employee, is because if you just get on an intro call and sit there and wait for the client to ask you questions, you don't even like send any kind of like sort of like professional follow-up afterwards. Of course, you either may not even get that client, but if you do, they're going to lowball you because they're going to be like, she doesn't even know what she's doing. But if you get on there and you run it like, okay, I'm going to ask you questions. Do I want to work with you as well? Okay, I'm going to answer your questions as well. And then also I'm going to send you a follow-up of everything that we like covered on that call. Like that just shows right there, like the type of assistant you're going to be.
I also think it, we use this example a lot, but I think it shows that it's a collaboration more than it is like hiring a service provider. If you want to be a good assistant, not just a virtual assistant who's being told to like do some data entry or like told every little thing that they need to do, like you have to come at that call as a partner and like, let's decide if we want to work together. And like, again, we use the example all the time and it seems really far-fetched, but like it makes sense in my head. If you have a contractor come to your house, like a plumber, you're not going to sit there and argue. If they show up and they show you their license and like they're, you know, driving a vehicle that doesn't look like, you know, if they're not driving like a Prius and they have equipment and like things, they like, they clearly are a plumber and they walk in and like seem to know what they're talking about. You don't know everything about plumbing, most likely. Like the clients that you're talking about are not assistants. That's why they are who they are. Like they're not able to handle the small details. And even if they are, they need someone to take over them. So they're not really coming in there to judge you, like how you send a calendar invite and things like that. They're coming in to see if you have what it takes to work with them. So like if you're talking to a plumber, you know that they're like, what they're doing is, you know, they know what they're doing. You're not going to question then when they send their price or their plan because you have no idea what to do. So you're trusting that they know what they are doing. The only thing that you might do is go get another plumber and like see if their price is better or if their plan is, you know, not digging up your yard and like they can do a less invasive thing, like that's the only thing that you would do. You wouldn't then be like, oh my God, that plumber did not know what they were talking. I mean, you might, but like most likely didn't know what they're talking about. And I think that's the fear, is like we come on these calls thinking like, I'm going to get torn apart. The whole world's going to know that I don't know what I'm doing. And that's just like really not the case. I mean, you are, if you are landing a call at all with someone, then you already know a little bit of what to do. You just have to go on the call, like building that confidence. So just like imagine yourself as a plumber when you get on these calls.
But it makes sense though. Like really, like I love what you said is we may like quote another plumber, but it's going to be based off of how they show up, how they present their business and their pricing. So it's not just like, yes, if someone's after you for just pricing, then you don't want to work for them anyway if they're only looking for the lowest person that they can pay. So it is like they can go to the next person and they can interview them or do an intro call with them, but they're still looking for pricing, the way they present themselves, how they like, how good of assistant, like it's all of those factors. So I love our analogy. Okay.
And one more thing, Christy, that you said about like the client that you had in Alaska that you were paid a little bit lower. You're going to have clients like that who are like, listen, this is the all I can pay. And there's a difference between that and being like, you giving your quote and then being like, oh, well, I can't pay that, but not giving you a number, or like just basically obviously trying to lowball you. And I think there's value in using intuition and like thinking through those things versus just being like so full of yourself that you're like, well, I'm not going to do that because my rate is this and that's what it is. Like if you see value in a client, even if it's a lower rate, like look what it's brought you now. Like if she's always your reference and like you've gotten clients from her, that's a long-term value out of someone that you would have missed if you would have been like, nope, you got to hit my rate at exactly this or whatever. And so I think a lot of, we see a lot of women that struggle bending a little bit in that way. And like there needs to be flexibility. Not everyone's going to be the same and the value that you get out of them is going to be different. So I think it's important to think about that too. So I love that you use that example too.
100%. And 9 times out of 10 in that intro call, as soon as I get off, I already know if they're going to book with me or not. And I'm very much straightforward. Okay, what is your sign? I want to know what your sign is. I want to know what your Enneagram is. Any questions that you have asked me, now I want to ask you, because this is a partnership and that's how I want it to feel. And I'm very much, okay, like I don't want to waste your time, but I also don't want you to waste mine. So moving forward, let's do X, Y, and Z.
I love your directness. I love it. I'm here for that. Because you know, I think it's easy to fall into the trap, especially if you've never been any kind of like business minded at all. Like if you've only been an employee or you've only been taught that like that's the world is just like being an employee working for someone else. It's so hard to make that shift. So like, I love that you came from the 9-to-5 world and then you're just killing out here.
And that's why a lot of my clients, truly, I mostly get referrals. And it's because right off the bat, yes, you can say that you're organized and you're proactive, but what are you doing to show in that intro call that you're proactive? Do you know anything about their business? Are you asking them any questions where they actually have to think about it a little bit?
Go off, sis. I love that. But seriously, though, that's exactly when I just did a coaching call. It's been a couple months ago now, but that's what I was talking about, is like doing your homework before showing up, asking them questions. And if you're in our program or plan to go through a program, we already have a list of questions for you to ask. So you don't have to just like pull this out of the air. Ask those questions. And like you said, do your homework before, like show up knowing what their business is, who their clients are.
My favorite question actually is when they ask, you know, why would you want to join my team? And instantly I go, truthfully, if I didn't want to join your team or find value in you and what you do, I wouldn't be wasting my time right now in this call. I wouldn't have wasted my time sending you an email, a pitch, you know, filling out a form for you. I wouldn't have wasted my time. Mm-hmm. Not in, you know, like a rude way or anything. But if you're asking me, yeah, why I'm here, that is why.
That's a perfect way to explain what we mean when we say take ownership of the call, because you will have clients who just like naturally will use interview type questions on these calls, because sometimes they make sense and sometimes they don't. But like to ask a question like that, I feel like to a service provider in this world is kind of silly, because it's like, well, like what? Like I'm here, right? Like I showed up for the call. So it like, it can like set you back a little bit. And then I think some people who have a weak mindset going into the intro call might just revert back to the like interviewee dynamic and then like answer that question and then wait for them to ask another question. So the way that you answer that, like almost turn it around to be like, oh, like great question. Don't make it rude. But like the way that you answered it was just like taking back control of the dynamic. And it's not like you have to like be aggressive and lead the call the entire time. But when they ask questions like that, just like standing up and like reminding them, this is my business. And like, basically if I wanted to be here, or if I want to be here, I'm here. If I didn't want to be here, I wouldn't be here kind of thing. So like we can part ways if we're not having a good time, but like we continue if it's going well. So I think just having that mindset is really good. It's hard though, whenever you do have like a scarcity mindset and you're not comfortable wherever you are, whatever client you get on intro call with, it's really hard to not just be like, I just really need this client. So have you ever had calls like that where you're like, I really need a client, and you've had to like mentally prepare yourself to be like, nope, I don't want a client like this. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was after our big move into the house, and it was a chief of staff situation, an umbrella of 7 companies. I was like, this is great. You know, like never done that kind of situation before, but my husband's construction, he was construction. Like we all just like vibed as like a family as a whole. So I was like, this is like a really good unit. And almost instantly, like a weekend, it was like, this partnership is not for me. And I really had to sit there and say, I only want to work with female entrepreneurs. What am I doing? You know, like I didn't want to do this. I left my corporate accounting job, you know, with like the male overhead, because I didn't want to be spoken down to like this. I didn't want to be treated like this. I just didn't want like that masculinity to, you know, affect me in any way. It's like, what am I doing? And it was all because the money was good. Yeah. And I was picking up clients. I was like, let's do it. And instantly, yeah, I think a month in, I resigned, and that was it. And I was like, you know what? You live and you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that, because it's like I said, it's just really hard to turn something like that down and then justify it in your head when you have a scarcity mindset. And I'm assuming your husband was a big part of that, like being able to coach. Yeah. Yeah. And so what would you say to someone who doesn't have that? Like maybe their husband's not like that, or like they just wouldn't get it. So you would have a hard time, and maybe they're not like, they don't have the best friend group or whatever. Like maybe they're the ones being like, don't send your social security number, you know, whatever. Like what advice would you give to someone who is having trouble going in and being like choosy with their clients because they really need the money?
Could you find, you know, a low baller client that respected you more and that made you happy? Is that an option? You know, that, and don't be afraid to use your resources. If you're going through something, put it in the group. I can almost guarantee if you are honest and candid about what you're going through and what skills you actually have, someone in this group will say, I know someone, I can give you a reference, or I can connect you with so-and-so. Just be open and transparent about what you're going through.
Yeah, I highly encourage all the ladies to get in there and just introduce themselves. Because if you just get in there and you're kind of like, oh, I'm just going to watch, you know, I'm going to see what everyone else posts, and you never make your presence known in there, you're never going to be a thought to anyone else who's like maybe going to pass on a client or, you know, be considered for an opportunity. I think it was April, another one of our like OGs in our program, but she was like, I have given so many ladies in here, like past clients down to them, but I only do it once I've made sure that like I've did a little search in here to see how much they've like interacted and they showed up. So like, it's a big part. Like if you are in a community, not even just ours, like if you're in a community, show up in that community, like ask questions, post your wins, your struggles, like post in that group to let your presence be known in there.
I also think it creates this layer of accountability with yourself when you post things to be like, okay, I'm doing this. Like I've made that public. And so if you post and introduce yourself, again, that's not something that's like gonna land you a client right away. But like you're saying, Christy, like someone might down the road be like, oh, I know someone that I can introduce you to. And it like, it starts that snowball effect. And it's just, it's not internalizing those feelings of like, can I do this, or having doubt or having a scarcity mindset. It really is just like getting that out of your body and so that you can make room for the confidence that you need to sometimes fake to be able to like find the clients that are actually a fit, find the communities that are an actual fit. So I love that. I love all your answers. I love your story.
Well, thank you. We just love you.
Thank you. Well, countless times I've, you know, tagged other people, other ladies from our group in things, and I wouldn't know their specialty if they weren't open about it in the group.
And how fun is it to, because I sometimes feel bad whenever I'll tag somebody that I'm like, I know there's probably 50 other women that like specialize in photographers or something like that, but like, I only know X, Y, and Z do that because they've been vocal about it in the group or they've talked to me about it personally. So of course I'm going to tag them, you know, if I see an opportunity like that. And it's so fun to be able to do that because it's like, oh, I got to like make that connection, even if it doesn't go anywhere. It just, it's like, well, who was it that, I don't know, we used to follow that said like, whatever you put out there, like the universe is going to bring back. And I really do believe that. I think it's within our own power. But like, if you put good, like a good mood out into your house, like your kids usually, you know, in the ways that like sometimes they won't do it just because they're built a certain way. But like for the most part, they will give that back to you. Like if you're going to be angry and hateful all day and like rage clean, they're going to give that back to you a little bit. But like if you wake up and you try to be, you know, excited about the day, like they will give that back to you. So I think it's the same thing with everything, like your clients, how you show up whenever you're at an intro call, like how you network. So yeah, it's really just like what you're putting out there.
Absolutely. And I've seen a lot of posts too, where they're not asking you to apply, they're looking for recommendations only. And I have a lot of, again, heavy hitter clients. I can't recommend you if I don't know what you're good at.
Yeah. And I think that's hard because some women really don't know what they're good at and they just want to find that first client. So I think that's where you have to take ownership and just like know that you're good at, maybe it is mothering. Like I'm really good at the details, or I'm really good at making sure that, you know, my client has everything that they need to have a successful day. Like you have to think about what you're good at in your day-to-day as a mom and then transfer that into like what it would be like with a client. Now, if you have had like corporate experience or a job prior, it's a lot easier to like think about those skills transferring into like a workplace, but it's hard for stay-at-home moms who literally have no experience whatsoever to do that. But I feel like it's not impossible. And once you have that mindset shift, it's actually pretty simple. Like it's obvious to be like, oh, you have, you know, four kids or multiple kids and they all are in different sports and you have different pickup times and doctor's appointments all over your calendar, but you manage all of that. Like they've never missed a doctor's appointment. You haven't had to call 2 minutes before and be like, I'm not going to make it. Like that's a really big accomplishment. And so finding a way to communicate that to a client is obviously like you have to do that because you can't just be like, well, I'm a mom and I manage a lot of kids. Like you have to find a way to communicate that in a way that they understand how that will actually transfer, but it's not impossible.
Exactly. That, or just change your perspective, right? So you're looking at something saying, I don't have those skills, but I would really like to do that. Write about it. Tell them, you know, show up and say, no, I don't have this experience, but what I do have is X, Y, and Z. And just show that you have the drive, you know, go over to LinkedIn, send them a private message candidly that's saying, I would really love to work for you. And this is why, and I love what you're doing. And just, I don't want to say don't be afraid to like be a creep, because I've also landed clients that way where I've seen them looking for something and I go over to their LinkedIn and I personally message them because I know their social media managers 9 times out of 10 are on Facebook and Instagram and not on their LinkedIn. So I can message them directly and say, hey, I know you're looking for this. I don't have that skill set, but I would love to work with you. And just like, I have the passion to do it. So give me a shot.
Yeah, I love that too, because it really is the, and I always say this to clients, like when we were had our agency, I would say like the way that we connect you with an assistant is based on character and personality more than it is like the skills and experience that they have. Like I can give you a resume that perfectly fits what you're looking for, but you get on a call with them and it's just not a fit personality wise. Like that's not going to work long term. So you really have to think about that when you're going on to calls, that like your resume not might fit what this person would look for if they asked for it, but like you have to show up as the person that's going to solve all the problems, you know, look for problems that they don't even know that they have and just literally mother them. Like that's what you're looking for.
Yes. I work with a lot of visionaries, and that's what it is. And I think that's why my personality jives so much with them. I am quite literally holding their hand and just telling them what to do.
I feel accomplished in our coaching. Like, I feel like the things that you're saying, I'm just like, yes, like, I'm so glad that it clicked with someone. And I love that you've leaned into our community and you're giving back. And I love that you're in our community. And we literally will talk about you when we were planning this podcast. And we'd be like, what questions do we want to ask her? And then Tiana would be like, I don't know. I just love her. Like, I just want her to talk the whole time. Like, just let her talk about herself.
I think just the other day, I still pop in Caitlin's coaching calls because I feel like whatever I can give back or answer other questions will help other people. So don't think that they're just there for beginners and intro.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And we love that the community is built that way because it is, I think it's cool to have someone who's brand new to the world be able to talk to someone who joined 3 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever, like having that like mixing bowl of experience, I think is really cool. Cause then you don't feel alone. And then you also can see someone who's been through it, you know? So I love that.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the Call Us Mommy podcast.
If you want to spend more time with us, make sure to hit follow. And if you like the episode, share with a friend and leave a review.